Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, you may know, has these wonderful, amazing descriptions of the birth of Jesus and all the events surrounding it, which we don't find in all the other Gospels. Matthew has some, Mark makes it very, very short, and John begins with, "In the beginning was the Word." So often during this time of Christmas, these days of Christmas, this season of Christmas, we hear words from Luke. Hear these words now from Luke chapter 2, 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them. And he said to the mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now there was also a prophet, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now when they, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, have finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. I invite you to remain seated as we sing the Song of Simeon, those words that Simeon sang when he saw Jesus, in your hymnal number 603, and the words are also in your bulletin.
Oh,
is a very interesting day to me, for it only happens once every 6 or 7 years, depending on when our leap year falls. Because just last week, we were here surrounded by all these beautiful decorations, lighting candles to the song Silent Night, celebrating Christmas Eve, and today is New Year's Eve. And we stand on the cusp of a new year. Both Sundays, we stand in anticipation of something. Last week, we were anticipating the celebration the next day of Christ's birth. And this week, we may be spending a little bit of time reflecting on the last year. We may be anticipating a new year after a very hard year. We may be anticipating changes, resolutions to things that we can think that we might be able to do better as we begin a new year. We might be anticipating what the new year will bring. Sometimes eagerly, sometimes with trepidation. And before these two Sundays, we had that whole season of Advent, those 4 weeks of time of waiting, 4 weeks of anticipating the birth of Jesus, 4 weeks of intentional waiting, of looking for Jesus. Between last Sunday and today, we have celebrated the birth of Jesus in a stable in Bethlehem. This one event that happened in the quiet dark of night, although I'm not convinced Bethlehem was so quiet since the census made everybody go there, but we still sing about a little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. But do you know that one event that changed all of history, even our time, is marked before that event and after that event. That event that happened not with fireworks or loud proclamation, but happened in the most humble of locations. That happened with the most humble of observers. That happened really unrecognized by almost all of the world until later. We have celebrated this week in many different ways. I've heard of some of your celebrations, of some of the things that you have done. We all have different traditions that we may try to hold close. Family traditions may be ones that we had when we were young that we have brought into adulthood, or traditions that we have embraced that we find to be special, that make this time special. In my family, we have a tradition that came really from both my family and my husband's family, that on Christmas Eve, we gather and we do two things after we have worship. We come home. We always have taco soup, simply because my husband's a pastor too, and it's in the crock pot ready to go when we get home. We always have taco soup, and then we gather and we open one gift, and you can choose which gift you're going to be able to open that night. And after that, we watch a film. We watch the Nativity Story. It's not anything that would win any major awards, but it really is a very good telling of the events that happened on that particular night. Think for a minute about your own Christmas traditions, the ones that you may have experienced in childhood, the ones that you may have experienced this last week. When we watch that film, there's always one scene that kind of strikes me. It struck me at least this week. They're taking this pretty rough trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Sometimes when we read these stories, we forget how much harder things are when you have to go by donkey. How much harder things are when you walk the whole way. So they're taking this very difficult trip over several days, camping with other people around them, all camping, just gathered around little fires. They're now toward the end of the trip, and they get to the hill country that surrounds Bethlehem. And as they're coming down this hill country, and you can see in their faces weariness, exhaustion. Mary's very pregnant. She's on the donkey, and Joseph is leading her ahead. And they come across an elderly shepherd who is out with all the sheep on the side of this hillside. He's dirty. He's grimy. He's old, very, very old. Many often the shepherds, when they went up into the hills, they would be gone up there for weeks. So he is clearly not washed, not been around others. But he invites Mary and Joseph to sit and to warm themselves by the fire for a few minutes. This act of hospitality for these two that he sees who are so tired. As they gather and they sit around the fire and they talk, he makes a comment to them. He says, "My father told me that everyone is given a gift." And then he went on to say that the child that Mary carried was her gift. She thinks about that for a minute, and then she responds and says, "What is your gift then?" His response is, "My gift has been waiting for it." Some wisdom from a shepherd. It is hard to recognize, but sometimes waiting can be a gift. The season of Advent, that waiting, intentional waiting, can be a gift as well. A gift to wait, to linger. In our world where we're filled with noise, we're filled with activity all around us, sometimes it is a gift to sit, to be still, to allow the voice of God to come into our lives. It's also our gift sometimes to reflect on the darkness in the world. We began Advent with a lament from Isaiah, "Oh, that you, God, would rend the heavens and come down." We reflect on the highway, a way that appears in the desert, a way where there is no way. Jesus is that way, the way to God. He's the way that comes to us in the desert of our lives. When our souls feel parched, he is the living water. It's been our gift to linger for a moment in that darkness, to remember that Jesus did not come for a people who had it all together, for a people who were happy and ready and had everything prepared and ready. You know, that question, I think, at the beginning, the last time I preached was the beginning of Advent. And I talked a little bit about how we get this comment sometimes, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And people ask you that over and over again when you go to the stores. Well, I wasn't, because I got sick. I got COVID on the 12th of December. I wasn't even beginning to be ready. And you know what? Jesus came anyway. The light comes into the world whether we are all together or not. And Advent gives us a moment to remember that. We don't have to be qualified or ready or good enough for God's love. It is given to us. It is a gift. We sang words during Advent that reflected our waiting. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. We waited to celebrate the first coming, but we also now wait to celebrate that second coming when Jesus comes. We anticipated Jesus coming at Christmas, and we still anticipate Jesus coming to make all things right in this world. Today's passage helps us to know that we are not alone in our waiting, in our looking for Jesus. Because after telling about stars and angels and shepherds in great detail, Luke then takes this story, this kind of obscure story, and he tells it to us in great detail. He tells us that earlier, Mary and Joseph had followed the Jewish tradition and the law to the letter, taking Jesus to the temple to be circumcised when he was 9 days old, marking Jesus as part of the household of God, as a member of the chosen people. And now we learn that they have now returned to the temple. This again is a great journey to present Jesus to the Lord, as was the custom for the firstborn male child. So according to the law, they offer a sacrifice of 2 turtle doves. This little detail is actually very significant because it identifies them as being very poor. The appropriate offering, according to the law, was to offer a young lamb. And the 2 turtle doves was only offered as a substitute when the parents could not afford a lamb. And then Luke immediately introduces Simeon. He describes Simeon as righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So Simeon is waiting for the consolation. That's an odd phrase, I think, to me. It's not one we use a whole lot anymore. But it can also be translated as ready to receive to oneself. Simeon was eager to welcome, not waiting as an endurance, as a marathon, but as an active anticipation. Another interesting thing to notice here is it very specifically says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon has the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost, before the time that we know of the Holy Spirit coming upon all people. The Holy Spirit had come, and God had told him that he would not die before he had seen the Christ, the Anointed One. And Simeon holds the baby Jesus in his arms. You realize this is the only time that we know of anybody except Mary and Joseph holding baby Jesus in their arms. He looks at the baby Jesus and immediately knows that he is the one, that the promise that he has been waiting for has been fulfilled. The Messiah that he has been looking for is in his arms. Simeon gazed into the brand new eyes of the Ancient of Days. And for him, Christ went from being God with us to God with me. We are immediately also introduced to Anna. So Anna is an interesting character because she's one of only a few women labeled in the Bible as a prophet, or sometimes translated as prophetess. We know about her that she was advanced in years, that she lived with her husband for 7 years after marriage, but then she became a widow, and she lived until 84, sometimes translated as 84 more years, so we're not exactly sure how old she was. But we're told that she stayed in the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. We don't know if that means that she lived there, right outside the temple, or if she just came every day as often as she could. We're not exactly sure, but we know that her life centered, all of her life centered around the temple. When she sees the baby, she also recognizes that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, and she responds by giving thanks to God and then speaking to Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Both Simeon and Anna, these aged saints, had been waiting. In both cases, their waiting demonstrated their faithfulness. For both of them, this is the only time they appear in the Bible. Both of them recognized Jesus, a baby, immediately for who he truly is. Throughout this gospel, Luke is very intentional in demonstrating that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news to all people, to the rich and the poor, to men and to women, to insider and to outcast. Here, in pairing Simeon and Anna is very intentional. Luke wants us to recognize that something radically new is happening. So over and over, if you read through Luke carefully, you're going to recognize that Luke couples stories so that each time he tells one about a man, he tells one about a woman. In this case, we have Simeon and Anna. And it's important to recognize that we might not be surprised by that in our culture, but the original hearers would very much have been surprised by that. For in that time period, women were not in the full temple fellowship. They remained outside in the court of the women. They could not enter the interior where sacrifices and worship took place. In the same manner, if you were in the synagogue, those places of worship in little towns, then women sat behind a screen to the side or to the rear of the room. Women were even excluded from worship by language. In this time period, people now were speaking either Greek or Aramaic. Jesus would have spoken those two. Yet worship in the temple was entirely in Hebrew. The young boys would have learned Hebrew in Hebrew school. So often the women did not even know what was being said. Even more startling is that Luke identifies Anna here as a prophet. There are also other ways that Luke is showing that good news is for all. Simeon responds to his encounter with the Christ child with what is called the Nunc Dimittis, which is literally, "Now you let depart." This canticle that we just sang, it's been set to music countless times. You can look it up on YouTube and you can listen all day to different versions of these words. And Simeon sings, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." You may not notice, but the original hearers certainly would have noticed. Simeon asserts that this baby will bring salvation not only to the Jews, as was expected, but also to the Gentiles. A Gentile being anyone in the world who is not Jewish. And if you look real carefully, you'll notice Simeon lists the Gentiles first. Simeon has been waiting, and he recognizes Jesus as the Messiah who will bring salvation to all the people of the world. This is not just a sweet story about two older people who are allowed to see Jesus and even hold Jesus before they died. No, this story is so much more. This story tells us that Jesus comes to all people, regardless of gender, as Luke showed by having Simeon and Anna, regardless of economic standing. Remember how even Mary and Joseph are poor and bring just two turtle doves. Regardless of genetic inheritance, as he specifically says, the Gentiles and the Jews. Regardless of anything that can divide us into categories. Just like Simeon and Anna, we have been waiting. Through Advent, we have been anticipating the coming of Christ at Christmas. And now we still are waiting for Christ to return in glory. And we wait, hopefully like Simeon, with eager, yearning, welcoming, ready to welcome Christ whenever we see Christ in our midst. I'm reminded of a hymn that was written probably 10 years ago by Bernadette Farrell. It's called "Christ Be Our Light." The choir did it last year one time, but I wanted to read these words to you. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church gathered today. Like Simeon and Anna, will we recognize the gift that we have been given? This gift that has been given this week to us, to all people. Like Simeon and Anna, we have the opportunity to respond to this great gift. Simeon responded by affirming that this gift is the gift of salvation for all people. Anna responded by giving thanks to God and then sharing the good news with all who were waiting to hear. Like Simeon and Anna, we have received the greatest gift of all. We have met this week Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God with me, God with you. We have seen that God came not in splendor to those who thought they were worthy, but came in a humble stable in a tiny village, surrounded by humble, smelly shepherds. We've been given this gift to all humankind. And now the question that we have is, what is our response? How do we respond to this gift? We too have met Jesus. We have met the goodness of God in Jesus through the birth of a child in Bethlehem, this gift given to all, rich and poor, male, female, happy, sad, Gentile, Jew, gay and straight, Republican, Democrat, anything else you can say. The gift is given to all. So what will be our response? What will be your response? How will you respond to this great gift of love? Are you ready to receive it? Will you accept it, or will you leave it unopened? When you accept it, what will be your words of praise? How will your life say thanks? How will your life be changed? How will you, like Anna, share this gift with a world that desperately needs it? Those words of Bernadette Farrell. I don't have much voice after COVID, but I'm going to try to sing it anyway. Let me sing this last chorus to you. Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, shine in your church, gather today. May the light of Christ shine in you and through you always.